Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
We are in our month of sacrifice, and we are talking about kingdom financial sacrifices. This is one of the powerful principles and message in the Bible that will make your life a very blessed life practically here on earth. When you are able to give God, give to His work, it's a clear sign that you are blessed. It's a true sign that you love the Lord, you honor the Lord, you fear the Lord, and you believe truly that God owns you and owns everything that you have. In Luke chapter 16, verse 11 to verse number 13, he said, "If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Praise the Lord. So we are talking about kingdom financial sacrifices, part 3. Please take your seat. There are implications for giving to God or holding back from giving to God. When you struggle to sacrifice, give to God, it means something to God. And it means something in the Word of God. And when you don't struggle to give to God, it also has meaning. Last time we learned that true financial sacrificial giving is the one that will make you cry. You will give it whilst crying. Psalm 126 say, "They that sow in tears, they that carry precious seed and sow it in tears." So really, giving your money to God or to anything at all, anyone at all, it's not an easy matter. Except, as we learned, you are giving it because it is available. Because we learned that there are those who give what is available. Then there are those who also give what is affordable. But then I believe that a higher dimension of giving is that there are those who give what is valuable and painful. And if you are giving what is valuable and painful, you will feel it. Now, giving is something that we should be talking about in the kingdom. Because everything Jesus did was to give. Give out of love. He gave his life. He shed his blood to save you and I. And so giving is at the foundation of our walk with God. It's at the foundation of our redemption. And so we have to build on it. Tell somebody, build on it. And the reason why we have to build on it is that it has a personal and direct relationship with your walk with God. Your giving is also an interpretation of your faith, your trust, your love for God. Your giving is an expression of your honor for God. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says that, "Honor the Lord with your substance." And so there are implications for giving or not giving. Or wanting to give or not wanting to give. And this morning we want to go into some. The scripture we read says that, "If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" So there is something called unrighteous mammon. Basically, it's talking about money. It's talking about the medium of exchange or the medium of transaction. And money is what it's talking about. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is yours? So here we get to know that there is something called unrighteous mammon. There is also something called being faithful to that which is another man's. And faithful in unrighteous mammon. Faithful in that which is another man's. And all these faithfulness that the Bible is talking about is going to bring you to a particular end. One of us said that if you are unfaithful with unrighteous mammon, or if you are not faithful with that, how you see true riches? So we can explain why some people are not seeing what they want to see. Then he says, how will you have your own if you are not faithful with another person's substance? And we know from scripture that we are stewards. We are stewards of God's treasure. We are stewards of his mysteries. Corinthians says that it is required of stewards to be faithful. So there is nothing that we have that we have not received from God. And that makes us stewards. The life we have, we bring it to God. We surrender it to God because he has given us the life. The substance we have, we surrender to God because he's given it to us. He says, if you are not faithful in this substance that God has given you, which is God's, another man's, how will you have your own? That simply means that there's class test, there is mock, there's final exam, and somebody has to pass it. And the fundamental thing that you and I need to pass, as far as God is concerned, is faithfulness. Is what? Faithfulness is the test before you and I today, as children of God. Whether we will be able to behave ourselves well before the Lord when it comes to the unrighteous mammon. The thing is already unrighteous. So if you are not careful, it will make you unrighteous. Even though you are righteous. I don't know. Am I preaching or I'm dancing? When you are dealing with something that is necessary and yet is unrighteous, it can really mess you up. Money reveals what is in your heart. It is not power at all. It reveals how you see power. And I heard a very funny comment on the social media, a pastor preaching, and he said that so many people are not fornicating because they don't have money. And I agree, because for many of us, we don't even know what we are going to do until we see a certain level of prosperity. And you trust your legs so much until you have money to hire a private jet, and I'm a kododo, to be able to go on a vacation in a hiding place. And then you'll be calling all manner of things that are not angels. We don't know how you would treat your wife when you make money. We don't know how you would treat your husband. Some women are here, they look very humble. Even me, I'm confused. I feel like some of the best men in the church, you marry them. But the devil in them will show up when the unrighteous mammon touches their hand. Put your hand on here and say, God, show me mercy. Have mercy on me. Ask somebody by your side, am I going to change when I touch this unrighteous mammon? What is going to happen to me? That thing is already unrighteous. So, to put the test in perspective, verse 13 says that no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So here, the two masters that the Bible was referring to are God himself and mammon. And this is very interesting to me that from the point of view of scripture, Satan is not a direct competitor to God. It's not in any kind of space dragging, heart dragging competition with God. The thing that is trying to take the love we are supposed to give to God is mammon, not Satan. That simply means that for many of us, our problem is mammon. He said you cannot serve two masters. The thing that is trying to take ownership of you is not Satan, it's money. That money has more value in competing for space than Satan. Or more. This is a serious matter. Please be talking to somebody right now. That don't hide as if pastor is not preaching to you. That we know that the real devil that is trying to bedevil some people is not devil himself, but this thing called unrighteous mammon. You cannot serve two masters. One master is unrighteous mammon. The other master is this righteous Jesus Christ. He said, either you will love one and hate the other. So truly, if you are the type who struggles to be faithful to God when it comes to the unrighteous mammon, it is clear where you stand. And the clarity is in the fact that sacrifice shows who owns you and your real master. It shows who owns you or who your real master in this life is. And so, some people, the scripture says, who owns you means who you serve. No servant can serve. The one who owns you is the one you serve. So we are here and we can be lying to ourselves that, Jesus, you are the owner and the holder of my life. Maybe true, he is the holder, but he is not the owner. Because you can hold what you don't own. And some people have committed their lives into the hands of Jesus to hold, but they are holding their money and serving their money. It's like Jesus is a watchman. At the outside, watch, so that nothing comes in. But what is inside the house belongs to me. That one, I lock the safe. I put the password. I have the treasure, the pass key of the safe and all of that. But you are the watchman outside. Fight all the external battles. But I own what is on the inside. Sacrifice is the true expression of who you serve. Whether your heart serves the Lord, whether you deem Jesus to be the master of your life, or money is the controller of your life. So anything that is your master is what controls you. So some people cannot make a decision beyond their money. They will be okay with you until you touch the money. Because their God is their money. And because their God is their money, they don't give it out. Have you seen people? People don't dash their idols. Let me borrow you my idol. No. No. So people hold on to it because they define the value of their lives, the essence of their lives, the substance of their lives in the unrighteous mammon instead of the one who gives us life. So for people who give financially, I've told you that this month I'm not talking about you giving your singing to God, your time to God, even though so many of you need to do better. But we are talking about your unrighteous mammon. Why are you not able to give your money to God? Is the issue under consideration. And you can be a fine Christian and you are somebody who is controlled, regulated. Your colonial master is an unrighteous mammon. You are serving the mammon as a servant. How many of you believe that if you say Jesus is your master, you are a born servant to Jesus? Like you are a slave, typical to Jesus. Let me know. So this one, that money is your master. What are you to money? You are a slave to money. I'm telling you right now, there are people in this church who will not be too concerned if they lost their faith in Christ, more than if they lost their job or whatever gives them money. Some people say, "Mewu." But to denounce Jesus, some people will be cool. I'm telling you. Because we can just, the eye test can look like we are great Christians. There has to be a litmus test to who really your heart belongs to. And one of the things that is in the laboratory of God to test who your master is, where your heart is, who you serve, is money. Mammon, the unrighteous. I like the name. The Bible is so clear to qualify that we are not just talking about mammon. We are talking about something that has high level of corruptibility. It can corrupt you straight away, defile you, or make you unrighteous. Make you unrighteous means it can misalign you, make you not be in right standing, not in right thinking. So you see that some people, because of money, they are nice until money matter arises. And you see that their misbehavior will arise. No. The way you are kunkuming in your face, I don't like it. I'm preaching, you should be smiling. Please ask somebody, who is your master and who do you serve? I want to be sure. Who your master is and who you serve. So sacrifice shows who owns you, or who your real master is. He defines who you serve to the devil and to all of us. So it's not what you say, it's how God sees you and how Satan also sees you. Number two, financial sacrifice reveals the position and destination of the heart. Matthew 6:21. When you financially sacrifice to God's work, it reveals the position and the destination of your heart. In Matthew 6:21, it says that, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So we know the position and the destination. How your heart is positioned and where your heart is based on the flow of your treasure, of your finances. So if you give your money to God's work, we know where your heart is and who your heart is with. That is why if you are a husband, it is not claiming, "I'm the husband, I love you, you know, I love you." We don't know. Your financial sacrificial giving shows who you truly love, or shows that you truly love. So people can serve without love and cheer and joy. You can actually serve without love. You can be professional in your service. You can serve without cheer. You can serve without love. You can serve without joy. We do it in our workplaces. Some of you are in your workplace, you have already resigned. You are just collecting salary until you get a new job. I'm preaching this thing. You are making me look like I'm not preaching this thing. There are people in marriages here that, God forbid, but I bind it in Jesus' name, who have already divorced 10 years ago. They are just there. When you are kissing them, it's like you are kissing an odum tree. There is no flow of life. Why is your face like that? I know you are. Am I not your pastor? No life. Cacocious, cobicious lover. Momonicious. Everything is gone. You can marry and be married to somebody that you have lost love for. And we are just there, coexisting, cohabit. We are co-tenant. You are married and single at the same time. Oh God, what a word. There's an emotional disconnection. You say it's called emotional divorce. It's a discord. Yeah, so you can just, a lot of people can be like that. Where your treasure is, there also. You see, there also. You cannot say that my heart is here and my treasure is there. The Bible says that it doesn't work like that. The heart and the treasure go in one direction. So we can see where your heart is, where your love is, where you place value, based on how the flow of your treasure is, or the direction of the flow of your treasure. Some of you love Gucci more than Jesus, I'm telling you. See, I'm giving more of your treasure to Gucci and to Prada, Louis Vuitton, Zara, Chanel. Oh, so we'll be on any level. Are you here with me at all? Yeah. Some of us will go to Christy Brown more prepared than we come to church. Yeah? We are making concern here. Now, yanku pon hume mobo. That bespoke, you have been tientiain si kasa for just a belt, a bomb belt to deceive us that your stomach is not protruding. You have been saving, sir, to buy just a watch. You, this man. I'm just talking about where your heart is. Your heart is with watches and belt and shoes. It be a starting year and say, my target is a Louis Vuitton way. Me catch me. So I sleep as no. Here they are metal. Tell somebody, all these things, they are very nice for life. And tell them you will have plenty in Jesus' name. You know what Jesus said in this chapter? He says that these are additions. If you position your heart well, all these things will be what? Added to you. So tell somebody, first things first. Make your investment in the right direction. And then you can have all these things from the profit and the earnings from your investment. Tell somebody, you can have all these things. Where your treasure is, there also. I can't say, my wife, I love you. Don't you get tired saying it? Show it. There's a way that you show it that you don't need to say it. You show it, the recipient, him or herself, will know that this is what it means. But if you are saying it without any manifestation, yeah, bro. Please stand and stand. Go to about 5 people. Tell them that, please, it's time to show God that your heart is following your treasure. Please, look, target some 5 people and talk to them. Target some 5 people. It's time to show God that my heart is following after you. Praise the Lord. Is it a powerful message already? Can I push it? If you're a woman here, oh honey, I love you because you always receive it. Always, God does not always receive. God is the one who likes to give. And you see that he outgives us all the time. Tell somebody, tell a woman, look at a woman, tell them, you are not a receiving tanker. Evans has crossed the River Nile. You are not a receiving tanker. You are not a receiving tanker. You are not a tank farm to receive gift and gift and gift and gift without giving back. Tell somebody, give back. Listen. You see, the way our physiology functions, it works in a give and take manner. The heart receives blood, pumps blood to other parts of the body. You can see the health of an organ or a whole system in the body based on their ability to receive and distribute. The lung will receive oxygen and pump out carbon dioxide. The liver, that you, the digestive system, if it is healthy, it must make the excretory system do some work. But so if you become a collection spot, that's why, please, I'm saying this with a sense of responsibility. That's why some people are on dialysis, because the system is receiving, processing, but it's not able to discharge. So over time, if they don't help that person to free out, then the system is getting more poisonous, you know, over time. This is what is happening to you spiritually. Every time you are receiving from God, thank you, thank you. Expert in saying thank you. But you are not distributing. And in the Bible, he said, give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. So you eat, you sow. You eat, you sow. The one to eat has been given to you, and the one to sow has been given to you. You cannot combine the two and say, I'm an eater. I eat all. He says that is how poverty will overtake you, because you do not understand how life works. So for you to be healthy, oh, doctor, my science I talked about is not correct. Sometimes they say somebody's brain is dying because the brain is not circulating, blood circulation is not, oxygen circulation. You are not circulating. You are a hoarder. You are stingy. There is heat that will hold that more than necessary. And it tended to poverty. Hey, please take your seat. Is it too powerful? We're talking about financial giving to God, giving to God's work. When it comes to giving financially, where we can explain where your heart is based on how you distribute your resources. So sacrificial giving is an indication of true commitment to a vision and the leadership you serve under. It's an indication of your true commitment to the vision. If God brought you to this house, one of the highest variables that will crystallize your commitment to the vision of this house is your financial sacrificial giving. When you do this, you don't say, Pastor, I believe in your vision. I believe in the commission. I believe or not. I've heard. And mostly the people who say this, they don't last. And they don't give. Many a times, those who don't say it, they are the ones who are giving because they are committed to the mission and the vision of the house. Your financial sacrificial giving is also a commitment and trust in the leadership of the one you serve under. So, there are things God wants to do. This year, we are supposed to open branches. And when I calculate the way we open our branches, the budget of it, We have never sent any pastor to ask them to look for a venue and pay for themselves. They have never bought instrument into any church we planted. From microphone to drums to whatever, we set up completely. I mean, the basic things that you would need to do the church, it will be on ground. And most of the time, who is going to that particular branch will not be known until maybe 1 month or 3 weeks. That simply means that the setting up of the place, the person had no consequence to it. It was ready and we sent you there. Spin test, it was so. Takrady, it was. We bought the whole property before we started the church. We renovated, we broke it down, renovated, built, set the whole place up. As I'm talking to you right now, last night, we took delivery of gadget we have bought from manufacturers from the port. That's why some members are not here. To change some of the sound equipment in the branches, left, right, center. All the pastors, they don't know the Faribai. It's a branch, we send you there. So, but your giving is an indication that you believe in the vision. It's an indication of your commitment to the leader you serve under. If we are doing well with the work of Christ, you will know. If we are not doing well, you will know. Are you here with me at all? If we are carrying the church's money for our own personal matter, you will know. But if we are using it for the work of God, you will also know. And you are intelligent enough to know what man is doing and what God is doing. And when you see what God is doing, you have to be committed to what God is doing and support the vision of the house and the leadership driving the vision. And one of the clearest ways of showing that commitment, aside being available and bringing your capability on board, is investing financially into it. Dr. Otabil is where he is because people give. Pastor Chris is where he is because people give. Go to Winners. Oh, they give with swag. They will give, you'll be there, you'll be insulting them. But they know why they are doing so. Go to Redeem. Go to Redeem. Pastor Adiboye, they have given him he can have a whole car park. A whole village can be filled with his cars. Sometimes when he wants to open a branch, he says, take that car, sell it. Branch has opened. Because the value of one car can open 10 branches. What a car. Somebody said that when she grows, she will buy Martin for me. What's the name? Aston Martin. I said, Yamin Shrawano. Shrawano, come. But more important is the fact that we are building something that is the kingdom of God here on earth through the church. And a sign of your commitment to God and the leadership he has set over the church is investing or sacrificially, financially giving to the work of God here on earth. That is a sign that you are committed. A sign that you are committed is not being in service all the time. The two must go. Your heart is here, your body is here, your treasure must be here. Are you here with me at all? Yeah. So if you are not careful, there are those who will be remote and more impactful in terms of commitment than those who are on ground. No rock is taking your place. Another man is not taking your place. Tell somebody, nobody is going to take my place. And the thing about giving is that everyone can give something to God. The widow gave her mite. Jesus said, this woman, even though she gave just 2 mites, she's given more than all these people who have given out of what is available and what is affordable. But this one has given what is valuable. It's small quantitatively, but qualitatively is big. Personally, I think that it's small life, small mind that want you not to give money. Because people who have big mind, big life, they show off by giving. They'll just give. For you to know that he's really attained big manism. That's why they give. The big man has come to town. He's just giving. You see a small man, he has so much resources, but the smallness of their vision and their mind make them feel like, if I give, hey, I watch one movie with my wife. They call it The Manager. Is it The Manager? My wife has a very nice way of watching movies. She can watch 5 movies in 15 minutes. I don't know how she does it. She's a magician. But every time she's watching the movie, she's carrying the remote. But I don't struggle watching movie with her at all. Sometimes I'm just fighting it. I don't know. What could I do? My hair like that. So it's very nice, but watching movie with her. That guy said they suffered poverty when he was growing up. So now that he had made money, the guy has punished the wife. Punished the wife. Married a fine woman, just downgraded her. The lady deterred. Yeah. He will count the fish in the soup. He had money, but a small life. Small mind. I'm not saying be reckless. I'm just saying that a sign that you are a great person is that you are not afraid. Jesus was not afraid to lay down his life on the altar, because he knew that many sons and daughters will be born out of that sacrifice. And that's why he is exalted above all. He has a name that is big man. Jesus is the real big boy. Ask somebody, are you a big woman? It's not in the quantum of money in your hand, though. How you think about it, how you manage it, some people are not generous towards God. Look at the scripture. It says that, how will you see true riches? There's a reason behind why some people are not materially blessed. I'm telling you this. Financial sacrifice or fidelity, number 3, clears the way for true riches from God. It clears the way. Tell somebody, it clears the way. We read Luke chapter 16, verse 11. Please, let's read it again. Luke 16, 11, very quickly. It says that, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Who? And please, let us put the scripture in context. This who that he is referring to, Odinka said you. If you are not faithful to God with your unrighteous mammon, he says, do you think God is stupid to give you more? Who? True riches. When you sacrificially give financially, it clears the way. You pass the test that now I am ready for true riches. Because riches have assignment, and for God to commit true riches into your hands, he has to be sure that your heart is ready for the assignment. And that if you cannot pass giving to God, you will never ever pass giving to men. And the true riches you are giving here on earth is to serve the purpose of God in the lives of other people. That's why you see some people pay some people school fees. They buy houses for people. They build houses for people and all of that. You have to pass the test with God first. Then he can commit, because anytime you are holding a certain quantum of money, that quantum of money is also the highlight or is the definition of the comfort of many families that you cannot see. Because you are employing people and the salary they collect, it feeds like 100 people in a village. That simply means that that one person you are seeing is equal to like 100 people in a village. If you don't pass the test and they give you this money, those 100 people will be suffering because you will not use the money for that assignment. And it's one of the reasons why some people, their faces look like they will be rich, but they will never be rich. Because their heart has not passed that assignment. If you are here at this level, you are not preparing your heart to give $1 million to God's work, to build a church or build churches for God or do something. Hey, most of times when I have an opportunity of ministering to some people who have got money, one common line that is there is that most of these people have been burnt by pastors and ministries, robbed, exploited. So what happens is when they come, we minister to them. Freely we receive, freely we give. No offering, no consultation. You know? And then we ask them to go. Many a times, those individuals pledge that, is there a project you are doing? Is there something we can do for the church people? Okay, I want to give this thing to for scholarship or give this thing to the building and blah, blah, blah. I say, okay, go. We'll send you the account. They have to chase me. I am never in a hurry to send those details to them. And many of them complain. Because for me, we are not here to burn you. And God will always pay his bills. And if you truly mean it, then you have to pursue it. So when I see pastors, they are chasing people here, and we are not going to chase anybody. We won't chase anybody. Please tell somebody, me, I'm not chasing you. We are not chasing anybody. So that's even last night, one of them was texting me. He said, Pastor, you have not sent the account. I said, hey. And he's been asking me 3 times. When I was in London, one of them was chasing me heavily. I want to be sure that you truly want to pass the test. Because there is no project we are doing here that will kill anybody here. This is God's work. And you are not giving to, you are giving to God's work. You will be blessed. You will have true riches. You have to prove to God that when you make a pledge to God, you really mean it. And you have respect, you have value, you have honor for God. We are not going to be taken from you the same way people have been taken from you, even from more than you want to give, compelling you to give. Now, you have a better record, you know. No. We cannot be part of their numbers. Who will commit to your trust the true riches? May God commit to your trust true riches. That amen is not strong at all. I said, may God commit to your trust. You know, you have to give money. Do what? If you are a pastor, yeah, you give money. That's a sign of your anointing. So many pastors are poor. Even when they are even building for God, they themselves won't put money inside. As for pastor, he is a collection officer. Okay, bring it to God. Not that they will use it on themselves, but the pastor is also a child of God. And if giving blesses, then the giving of the pastor, the giving of the church worker, the giving of the church member, will bring blessings to the one who is giving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And so, media, my giving is the preaching. Preaching is no giving, yeah. Preaching is no giving. My giving is a midnight prayers. I'm interceding for the church. Koyo, koyo. Means me bobby. All of us are praying for the church. Give. Who has prayed a church building into reality? You don't pray a car into manifestation. Hello? Am I preaching here? Don't you see that the mic is clear? Eh? Do we pray this into? Were you not here before? When we used to preach in microphone, that looks like a voice from hell. It's giving that will make. Israel don't marry him. He's giving. Sometimes I have a call from some person, I like your sound. Now give him. It's what? It's giving. We have to express the anointing in giving. Commitment in giving. To what now we see covenant giving. Wow. God, I'm committed. I'm what? I can't hear you. I'm what? If your wife says she's committed, she's not giving you, it's not a correct commitment. I love you, I love you. I can't cook food. Small food you can't cook. Hey. Every time we are buying food, we are buying food, and we are having typhoid. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 8, and then we'll bring the message to a close. It says that, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Then it says, when you give, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So financial sacrificial giving towards God's work means making all grace available for your prosperity. Listen, are you not surprised how people who pray so much still beg from people who don't pray so much? Me, I say I know I'm very prayerful, so I can deal with prayerful people, because it shocks me how prayerful people, they know God and they are poor at the same time. Look at the amalgamation of all grace. I know Jesus has saved us and we have all grace available, but the triggers are different. Praise the Lord. The triggers, the activators are different. So he says that, please go back. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. It's a principle. The value of your sowing, the quantum of your sowing, determines the value and the quantum of the harvest. That's why it's talking about the heart and the treasure. Sometimes you can give a big treasure and the heart is not following it. You say it's not powerful. And sometimes you can have a big heart and not have treasure at all. Say, when you have a heart, it must carry along with a treasure. That is faith, given by faith. Every man according as he purposed in his way. I can't hear, in his way. So let him tell somebody, the treasure is inside the heart. The giving, no, is inside the heart. Say, when your heart is hardened, is sick, it will determine how you give to God and to man. Yeah. According to your purpose in your heart, let him give. And he's saying that sometimes the heart may have certain conditions. Some people will give grudgingly, some out of necessity. But he said, don't do that. God wants you to give out of joy, out of love. Are you here with me at all? Please stand up. Let me finish this message. Give out of joy, out of love. And he says, when you are a cheerful giver, you are a covenant giver, you are a genuine giver. He said, this is what is going to happen. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Wow. All grace. Let's do some illustration. Five of you, please come. Wow. What a five. This is a big five. This is grace for finance. This is academic grace. Praise the Lord. Grace for marriage. This is grace for business. And this is grace for the gift of a man who make room. Okay? There is a way that when you are diligent, you can make this work independently in your life. All these others may be on hold. And there's a way that you can make this work and all the others may be suppressed some way, somehow. So you see that most of the time, nobody has nothing. Everyone has something. But that one thing you have may not be enough for the journey that you are undertaking. Because you need other variables to be a complete person and to be successful. So this one is praying. This one is fasting. This one is serving. This one is whatever, whatever. It's coming 1-1. It says that when you give, God is able to make Evans come. This is Evans. I want all of you to come in. Embrace him around. Embrace him. God is able to make all these ones jump on him at the same time. So by the time you know, academics working, children working. Are you here at all? The gift of a man is making room. He doesn't even know how it's working. Finances are working. Career is working. Because that thing that triggered it is called financial giving to God. May you receive all grace in Jesus' name. So I see some people, they have houses, they have cars, they have nice family. Everything is just coming around like that. You say, that every time, you see the way Christians we talk, you say that, but is it that I'm not praying enough? Everything is prayer for you. I'm not praying, I'm not righteous enough. You are righteous, so. But the switch, somebody has to turn it on. I'm telling you, when you go to hotel, like if it's a hotel, there are some sockets there. They will tell you this one is for only hair dryer. You don't plug other things inside. You cause problems for yourself. Some of you are trying to use hair dryer switch to serve everything in your life. Just the plug. They plug everywhere, plug everywhere. So Christians, let's come pray for the money to come. That money you are saying, pray for it to come. There's a portion that God wants for his work. If he has the smallest, slightest indication that your heart will not be ready to dispense it. Why is a finance minister the team one thing? Who buy your contract? Don't tell your card. Are you hearing it? And you say, "Akuawe yeh manu contract." Akuawe yeh. That's how some of us are. So as you are doing that, you are not giving financially to God. You, the switch is there, but you are not turning it also. All these graces want to land on you at the same time. But what's the son and crown, and they all have timelines, they work, and all of that. If you want all of them to work together, it says, when you can say, he will make all grace abound to you. Look at the scripture. That ye always having all sufficient. It's not sometime, at that time, say, always having all sufficiency. Always means all the time. Having everything that you need in abundance. Are you here with me at all? You may abound to every good work. Please take your seat. I see money grace come. Oh, let's stand. We are going to close. I see monetary grace coming to you. It's coming together with marital grace. It's coming together with career. With ministry, receive it in the name of Jesus. You will abound toward every good work. You will have all sufficiency in the shout a louder amen. Amen. All grace. All grace. All grace. Oh, I can see wealthy people here, Pa. Yeah, and you'll not be crying over your children. You'll not be crying over your career. Receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Money to God. God's work. You are pushing it for me, I will push you. That's God's language. If you are pushing it for me, I will push you. Please don't hold your money back. Please talk to somebody. Please, please, please. The grace to make you an all-round blessed person is waiting for your generosity to trigger, to activate. So give it to God and you will see His glory in your life. Can you give the Lord a big clap offering? One more time, clap, 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 clap. Give me Psalm 20 verse 1 to 3. Clap your hands and bless the Lord. We are going to pray. Hallelujah. I want to hear the keyboard. Let's read Psalm 20 verse 1 together. We are going to pray that God will remember us. He said, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Praise the Lord. He said, the Lord send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Verse 3. He said, the Lord remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. And then look at the next verse. I love it. He said, the Lord grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We're going to pray verse 3 and 4. He said, the Lord will remember all your offerings and sacrifices. You're going to pray that, Father, I pray for the heart to be able to raise offerings and financial sacrifices to you and your work. Can you lift up your hand and pray that prayer? I pray for that grace to receive a heart to release offerings and sacrifices on the altar. Ikola vitunduskila panna seke embendulukwa shedelete. I pray for that heart. Masatolika patala ebelia klesonte lemrendo kose. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on now. Lift your hand. Say, Father, through my hand.
Release resources
to build your work. Put the resources in my hand and I will release them to you. I will pass the test of faithfulness with unrighteous mammon. Open your mouth and pray right now. Elekopata labakapata. Ishelekwepelegedede. Eshelegedebelegedesh. Eshelobelegebedegedesh. Itorabadagadagadadas. Ishelepelegedebelegede. Elekwetelemreteli kapata. Ishalagabadagadada. Remele coperia so de la cape, et toramatos le predegade. Ay, 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 ay. Oh Lord, sepelizo. In the name of Jesus, lift your hand one more time and say, Father,
Father,
commit into my hands.
Commit into my hands.
True riches.
True riches.
I pray right now.
I pray right now.
Commit into my hands.
Commit into my hands.
True riches.
True riches.
And I will not fail you. Open your mouth right now. Open your mouth. Commit into my hands. True riches. And I will not fail you. Oh, paradis on the scale, Macapara Sutelia, oh, Shabakapata Labakapa, committed to my hands through riches, and I will not fail you. Shakopara Sundele, Ikapara Sota Likapaya. Finally, lift your hand. Say, Father,
Father,
remember my offer. offerings.
Remember
me and my generations. As you remember my sacrifices. All the offerings. And the sacrifices. Father, remember. And visit my house.
Visit my life.
Can you open your mouth and pray? Remember. Remember me with favor. Remember me to heal me. Remember me to bless. Remember me to deliver me. Remember me to defend me. Strengthen me.
Lebrosanda bataya.
Sheko paraso.
Rakapele bata. Rapari apetola bata.
Mashaka bata laka bata. Ilaka bata laba.
Rapari atula bata. Apela bata.
Esheke bata laba.
Ekola bata. Ekola baba. Esola baba kaba. Atala baba riatola bata.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes,
everybody sing. Opportunities to prove your love to God and to connect yourself covenantly by giving to God. After hearing this message this morning, you say, Father, I want to sow a seed. I want to give to you. I want to sacrifice something that I have for your work. As we sing the song, I want all those who want to practicalize this to step out now and come and get your envelope.
Where is Ada? Oh.
You want to sacrifice.
A part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Albing on all social media platforms. God bless you.